Does anyone know what scene this painting is depicting? I'll give you a clue. It's from Greek mythology. Yes, the sirens. Okay, so in Greek mythology, there were these things, these mythological beings called sirens, depicted by sort of often half woman, half creature. You know, like these are women and birds. They were like mermaid type things. And they lived on this island, and they would sing this beautiful, alluring, seductive song. And the sailors would hear it and steer their boats towards the island because they were so attracted by the song, and then get shipwrecked on the rocks. That's really interesting, because there are two different Greek mythological stories which refer to the sirens. The first is in Homer's Odyssey, Odysseus. Now, what he did was what this scene is depicting. He told his sailors to block up their ears with beeswax. And you can see, actually, if you look really carefully, this kind of, the ears are all blocked on the sailors. So he said, block up your ears with beeswax and tie me to the mast really tight. And then he said to his sailors, row past the island, because he wanted to hear the song of the sirens. But he knew that if he and his sailors heard it, they would just steer towards and get shipwrecked. That was his way of resisting the siren's song, to lash himself to the mast, and then the sailors could sail past, he could hear the song. He didn't have beeswax in his ears, and he would survive. But there's another story from Greek mythology, called another epic poem called Argonautica, featuring Jason and the Argonauts and his journey. And he also knew that he would have to sail past the island where the sirens lived, but he had a different approach. He took with him Orpheus. And as they got near the island and Orpheus heard the sirens singing, Orpheus got his harp out and played his beautiful music. And it was more beautiful than the song of the sirens. And it drowned out their song. And the sailors listened to that music and that song, and so didn't get sucked in towards shipwreck by the sirens. And sometimes we think, I must resist, I must do the equivalent, because the sirens are like idols, aren't they? They seduce us with their song, they promise so much, and we think, I've just got to resist. But a better way to rid our hearts of idols, the approach that God takes when he wants to recapture our hearts, is to listen to God's more beautiful song, his better song that he sings to us. And the poem that Francis picked totally sums up that song. It's a song of love, a song of commitment, a song of grace, a song of acceptance, a song of I love you so much, I'll sacrifice my son for you. A song of I'll never let, we sung the song, didn't we? I'll never give up, never give up on you. Your love never fails. It never gives up. I'll never walk out on you. That's the song that God sings. He recaptures our hearts by offering us this better song. Let's think about that song, and let's think about idols compared to God. You see, idols are like sirens. They sing this lovely song, but also idols are weak and they enslave us. But God is strong and he frees us. And we're going to finish off by thinking about that. So idols are weak. They offer us a lot, but they can't follow through on their promises of fulfillment and happiness and contentment and so on. They're weak. Think back to my recurring fantasy of winning the lottery and having millions of pounds in the bank. Okay? My heart believes, hopefully less and less now, but still partially believes that money can give me security. But money is a weak idol to have. So weak. Money can disappear so easily. There can be a stock market crash. There can be a banking crisis, a worldwide economic recession. Money can just be spent away, frittered away so quickly. We can put our money and our valuable possessions in a massively secure bank vault, but Do you remember this? The Hatton Gardens robbery, remember? Look at the size of those walls, but still, money is weak because it can be stolen. Remember what Jesus said? Don't put your treasure on earth where thieves can break in and moths and rust can destroy. Put your treasure in heaven. We think, we believe, money is so strong, money is my saviour, money can give me what I need. But it's such a weak idol. So weak. Well, let's think about people and how we are weak. Imagine a man who gets married and he looks to his wife for ultimate fulfillment, an ultimate happiness, an ultimate significance. And he says to himself, she's my everything. She can give me everything I need from life and more. Even if she is the best wife in the whole world, even if she's like that, to paraphrase the great philosopher, Rag and Bone Man, she's only human after all, isn't she? She can't stand up under the weight of that expectation, you know? She may be a brilliant wife, but she's weak. We're all weak. We all end up, even if we don't want to, breaking promises, letting people down, hurting people, just because we're human. Whatever idol we pick, so weak compared to God. But also, we must remember, idols will enslave us. They always end up enslaving us because we have to depend on them for our happiness. Think back with me to my front room, okay, and my idol of the approval of other people. If I continue with that as my idol, as that as the thing that gives me the sense of well-being that I need, then I have to continually perform to get people's praise and accolade, don't I? I have to continually do good things and impressive things and say impressive things to hear those words of approval. I'm a slave to performing well. And if I'm not, I go to a book group each month at Waterstones, and if I'm not careful, my book group can be a nightmare to me because I'm thinking, what amazing, incisive, intelligent, well-read comment can I throw in? And everyone go, wow, yeah, you've really thought that book and you understand its themes. It's a nightmare. That's not freedom. That's not enjoying the book group. That's slavery to other people's opinion of me. Idols enslave. What about if looks are your idol? What about if you say to yourself, my image, that's where I get my sense of significance from? You're enslaved automatically, aren't you? You're a slave to the mirror. You're a slave to the selfie. You're a slave to Instagram. And if you continue to be a slave, you'll go to great lengths to sacrifice to your idol, Botox and surgery and so on. Idols always enslave us, but on the other hand, in massive, wonderful, beautiful contrast, God is strong. God can offer us what our idols pretend to offer us. They offer us empty promises, but God offers us promises he can fulfill. Let's just go back to, again, that money is an idol. Win lottery, security. God offers ultimate security. God owns all of the money in the world. The castle on a thousand hills are his. I don't need money to go through life secure. I need God. He can provide my every need. I don't have to worry if my bank balance is a bit low or the car has something wrong with it. I can trust God and trust that he will provide, and he will. And get this, can money get you through death safely? Is money strong enough to withstand death and get you to eternal life? Of course not. But God is through Jesus. God is strong where idols are weak. If we depend on other people, it's great to have a good marriage. It's great to get fulfillment from your partner or for friends. But they will let you down, but God won't. God is the friend, committed to you forever, with no flaws, never breaks promises. And even if you did have the best husband, wife, friend, they will die one day. But God won't. God will always be there for you. God is strong. God doesn't enslave us. He gives us our freedom. our freedom, going back to this idol of mine, this need for approval. He says to me, you don't need other people's approval because you've got my approval. Because I count Jesus's performance as yours. And I commend you for that. And I accept you because of what he does. You have the applause of heaven. You don't need to continue to be going to other people. You have my acceptance and my accolade. Not because of your... And it's freedom, because I don't have to keep on impressing God to hear his words of approval. Jesus' impressive life is counted as mine when I trust in him. I've got it. It's guaranteed. And when we have God's approval, we're not always chasing after and dropping in comments and manipulating people and trying to get them to say how wonderful we are. It's freedom. It's freedom. What about your looks? What about looking young? What if that's your idol? That enslaves. But God says, I don't accept you on the basis of your face or how many wrinkles you have or grey hairs you have. I'm not bothered about that. I don't care about the outward appearance. You still have dignity because you're made in my image and you're my child. And I accept you on the basis of that, not how you look. And we're freed from looking in the mirror every 5 minutes and trying to be impressive on social media. We're freed from that. That's the beautiful, better song that God sings, which captivates our hearts. And that's how he prizes our hearts away from idols. So let me finish with this question. Who or what has captured your heart? We all have idols, but none of them match up to God. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When any of the Israelites, when any of the Argiles set up idols in their hearts, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. In keeping with their great idolatry, I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people who are members at Argyle Community Church or other churches who are here today. God recaptures your heart. Listen to his beautiful song. Thank you. Thank you. Does anyone know what scene this painting is depicting? I'll give you a clue. It's from Greek mythology. Yes. The sirens. Okay, so in Greek mythology, there were these things, these mythological beings called sirens, depicted by sort of often half woman, half creature. You know, like these are women and birds. They were like mermaid type things. And they lived on this island, and they would sing this beautiful, alluring, seductive song. And the sailors would hear it and steer their boats towards the island because they were so attracted by the song, and then get shipwrecked on the rocks. That's really interesting, because there are two different Greek mythological stories which refer to the sirens. The first is in Homer's Odyssey, Odysseus. Now, what he did was what this scene is depicting. He told his sailors to block up their ears with beeswax. And you can see, actually, if you look really carefully, this kind of, the ears are all blocked on the sailors. So he said, block up your ears with beeswax and tie me to the mast really tight. And then he said to his sailors, row past the island, because he wanted to hear the song of the sirens. But he knew that if he and his sailors heard it, they would just steer towards and get shipwrecked. That was his way of resisting the siren's song, to lash himself to the mast, and then the sailors could sail past, he could hear the song. He didn't have beeswax in his ears, and he would survive. But there's another story from Greek mythology, called another epic poem called Argonautica, featuring Jason and the Argonauts and his journey. And he also knew that he would have to sail past the island where the sirens lived, but he had a different approach. He took with him Orpheus. And as they got near the island and Orpheus heard the sirens singing, Orpheus got his harp out and played his beautiful music. And it was more beautiful than the song of the sirens. And it drowned out their song. And the sailors listened to that music and that song and so didn't get sucked in towards shipwreck by the sirens. And sometimes we think, I must resist, I must do the equivalent, because the sirens are like idols, aren't they? They seduce us with their song, they promise so much, and we think, I've just got to resist. But a better way to rid our hearts of idols, the approach that God takes when he wants to recapture our hearts, is to listen to God's more beautiful song, his better song, that he sings to us. And the poem that Francis picked totally sums up that song. It's a song of love, a song of commitment, a song of grace, a song of acceptance, a song of I love you so much, I'll sacrifice my son for you. A song of I'll never let, we sung the song, didn't we? I'll never give up. Never give up on you. Your love never fails. It never gives up. I'll never walk out on you. That's the song that God sings. He recaptures our hearts by offering us this better song. But let's think about that song, and let's think about idols compared to God. You see, idols are like sirens. They sing this lovely song, but also idols are weak and they enslave us. But God is strong and he frees us. And we're going to finish off by thinking about that. So idols are weak. They offer us a lot, but they can't follow through on their promises of fulfillment and happiness and contentment and so on. They're weak. Think back to my recurring fantasy of winning the lottery and having millions of pounds in the bank. Okay? My heart believes, hopefully less and less now, but still partially believes that money can give me security. But money is a weak idol to have. So weak. Money can disappear so easily. There can be a stock market crash. There can be a banking crisis, a worldwide economic recession. Money can just be spent away, frittered away so quickly. We can put our money and our valuable possessions in a massively secure bank vault, but, do you remember this? The Hatton Gardens robbery, remember? Look at the size of those walls, but still, money is weak because it can be stolen. Remember what Jesus said? Don't put your treasure on earth where thieves can break in and moths and rust can destroy. Put your treasure in heaven. We think, we believe, money is so strong, money is my saviour, money can give me what I need. But it's such a weak idol. So weak. Well, let's think about people and how we are weak. Imagine a man who gets married and he looks to his wife for ultimate fulfilment, an ultimate happiness, an ultimate significance. And he says to himself, she's my everything. She can give me everything I need from life and more. Even if she is the best wife in the whole world, even if she's like that, to paraphrase the great philosopher, Rag and Bone Man, she's only human after all, isn't she? She can't stand up under the weight of that expectation. You know, she may be a brilliant wife, but she's weak. We're all weak. We all end up, even if we don't want to, breaking promises, letting people down, hurting people, just because we're human. Whatever idol we pick, so weak compared to God. But also, we must remember, idols will enslave us. They always end up enslaving us because we have to depend on them for our happiness. Think back with me to my front room, okay, and my idol of the approval of other people. If I continue with that as my idol, as that as the thing that gives me the sense of well-being that I need, then I have to continually perform to get people's praise and accolade, don't I? I have to continually do good things and impressive things and say impressive things to hear those words of approval. I'm a slave to performing well. And if I'm not, I go to a book group each month at Waterstones, and if I'm not careful, my book group can be a nightmare to me because I'm thinking, what amazing, incisive, intelligent, well-read comment can I throw in? And everyone go, wow, yeah, you've really thought that book and you understand its themes. It's a nightmare. That's not freedom. That's not enjoying the book group. That's slavery to other people's opinion of me. Idols enslave. What about if looks are your idol? What about if you say to yourself, my image, that's where I get my sense of significance from? You're enslaved automatically, aren't you? You're a slave to the mirror. You're a slave to the selfie. You're a slave to Instagram. And if you continue to be a slave, you'll go to great lengths to sacrifice to your idol, Botox and surgery and so on. Idols always enslave us, but on the other hand, in massive, wonderful, beautiful contrast, God is strong. God can offer us what our idols pretend to offer us. They offer us empty promises, but God offers us promises he can fulfill. Let's just go back to, again, that money is an idol. Win lottery, security. God offers ultimate security. God owns all of the money in the world. The castle on a thousand hills are his. I don't need money to go through life secure. I need God. He can provide my every need. I don't have to worry if my bank balance is a bit low or the car has something wrong with it. I can trust God and trust that he will provide, and he will. And get this, can money get you through death safely? Is money strong enough to withstand death and get you to eternal life? Of course not. But God is through Jesus. God is strong where idols are weak. If we depend on other people, it's great to have a good marriage. It's great to get fulfillment from your partner or for friends. But they will let you down, but God won't. God is the friend, committed to you forever, with no flaws, never breaks promises. And even if you did have the best husband, wife, friend, they will die one day. But God won't. God will always be there for you. God is strong. God doesn't enslave us. He gives us our freedom. Our freedom, going back to this idol of mine, this need for approval. He says to me, you don't need other people's approval because you've got my approval. Because I count Jesus's performance as yours. And I commend you for that. And I accept you because of what he does. You have the applause of heaven. You don't need to continue to be going to other people. You have my acceptance and my accolade. Not because of your, and it's freedom, because I don't have to keep on impressing God to hear his words of approval. Jesus' impressive life is counted as mine when I trust in him. I've got it. It's guaranteed. And when we have God's approval, we're not always chasing after and dropping in comments and manipulating people and trying to get them to say how wonderful we are. It's freedom. It's freedom. What about your looks? What about looking young? What if that's your idol? That enslaves, but God says, I don't accept you on the basis of your face or how many wrinkles you have or grey hairs you have. I'm not bothered about that. I don't care about the outward appearance. You still have dignity because you're made in my image and you're my child. And I accept you on the basis of that, not how you look. And we're freed from looking in the mirror every 5 minutes and trying to be impressive on social media. We're freed from that. That's the beautiful, better song that God sings, which captivates our hearts. And that's how he prizes our hearts away from idols. So let me finish with this question. Who or what has captured your heart? We all have idols, but none of them match up to God. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When any of the Israelites, when any of the Argiles set up idols in their hearts, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. In keeping with their great idolatry, I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people who are members at Argyle Community Church or other churches who are here today. God recaptures your heart. Listen to his beautiful song.